Blog Talk Radio.
From the Lord. I want to thank God for his great goodness this Sunday afternoon, thanking God for his goodness, thanking God for his mercies, thanking God for his tenderness, for his kindness. And I want to talk this evening about hope, especially hope in the 21st century that you and I are living in. First of all, I believe there are no coincidences. When you love God, when you're called according to his purpose. And so if you're listening to this broadcast tonight, that means that God has a plan for your life. And we know because of his word in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 that his plans for you are good. They're plans to give you a hope and a future. But I'm telling you something. In 2015, it's so easy for the believer to lose sight a little bit about who we are in God, and more importantly, about who our God is. Our God is the creator of the universe. Our God is the one who put the sun and the moon and the stars in place. He's a great and mighty God. There is no other God like our Jehovah God. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there with you right now, wherever you are, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what is happening around you, God is there with you, Jehovah Shammah. And I want to read from the scripture. This is taken from 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 3 through 7. So I'm going to read four verses. Again, what I'm reading is coming from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, I just read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Let's just pray and ask God to breathe upon his word once again. My name is Sister Pearl. It's not really important what my name is, but it is extremely important who our God is. Amen. And our God is known to us in the person of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to pray that the Spirit of the living God will open up our hearts, open up our understanding, would anoint me as his handmaiden, to speak not my own words, but to speak exactly what you need to hear in this moment. And I believe that God has a word for you and God has a word for me. So let's just approach his throne in the wonderful name of his Son, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we always have an open invitation to come to you at any time, any moment of any hour of any day. And we approach your throne, not in our own name or not because we're worthy, but we're coming in the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus. Father, we're living in a time, we're living in a day. It is so easy for your people to lose sight of our destination. It is so easy for us to be distracted. So we ask you, Spirit of the living God, to breathe upon us one more time tonight as I even break the precious word of God, the bread of life to your people. Give me illumination so that I might share with those that listen exactly what you would have me to say, and then touch their hearing that they might not be distracted, that they might not be tricked by the enemy to rob the word from them, but that you would open up their understanding, open up their spiritual mind, and just pour in your balm of Gilead, pour in your understanding, bring illumination, oh God. Let us leave this little time together that we're going to spend encouraged, because we can have great hope in Jesus Christ. These things we ask and we believe it in faith, that you're hearing and you're answering in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I want to take three portions of those, that portion of scripture that I just read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. We're going to look at three different things tonight. Number one, we have a living hope. Our hope is not dead. Number two, we have an inheritance in Christ that is incorruptible. It is undefiled. And thirdly, thank God. Thank God, beloved. You and I are not depending on our own ability to keep ourselves, but you and I are kept by the mighty power of God. Isn't that wonderful? You don't keep yourself. I don't keep myself, but we're kept by the power of God. So let's just look at that a little bit more closely. Our hope is a living hope. When I look and try to find out what the Greek understanding of the word hope is, it means in the English expectation. It means trust. It means confidence. In other words, I trust God to the point that I put my entire hope and I confide in Him. I have confidence that He's going to do exactly what He's promised to do. Our hope is not like somebody who has a favorite football team or favorite baseball team. I'm talking to you from New York City tonight. It's one of the biggest, one of the most well-known cities, if not the most well-known city, a very influential city in the entire world. Well, you've probably heard, even if you've never come to our country, you've probably heard about a baseball team because America loves baseball. And that's really one of our greatest sports. Americans love NASCAR driving, they love fast driving, and they also love baseball. So in New York, we had a famous team, it's still famous, it's called the Yankees. And I'm also a Yankee fan. I'm not like fanatical about it, but I certainly support the Yankees, and I'm always rooting for them when there's a game. However, when we talk about the word hope, I might hope that the Yankees win. But my hoping that the Yankees win is extremely and 180% different from my hope in Jesus Christ. I might hope that my team wins, but my team can very well lose. You might be a great football fan. You might love, you know, your particular team. Whether it be in Texas or whether it be in Florida or California or Michigan or wherever, maybe in your country, you might be a great soccer player and you might love your soccer team, your particular soccer team, and you hope, of course you hope, that they're going to win and not lose. But there's a very good chance that they may lose, and they probably have already lost. I want to emphasize tonight that the hope that you and I have in Christ is far different from a humanistic hope that our team would win. The hope that we have in Christ is based on His character. The Bible tells us that the arm of flesh will surely fail. Anybody outside of Jesus is going to fail you. Not necessarily because they want to fail you, but because they're not God. And guaranteed, they will fail. I will fail you. Even your mother may fail you, and your mother will fail you at some point or the other. It might not be big and drastic, but she will fail you. Your father will fail you. Your earthly father will fail you at some point. It might not be a colossal thing, but he will fail. Your mom will fail. Your siblings will fail. Even your spouse that you love dearly and you've made a commitment for life to love them, to cherish them, to honor them, they're going to fail you. Why? Because they're human. Because they're not perfect. Because they're not God. And that's a side note right there. So we might put some confidence in them, but do not put your total confidence in any human being because they're apt to fail. We're apt to fail. However, Jesus never fails. Jesus, I want to repeat that again, Jesus will never, ever fail us. And so when the Bible talks, and when the Apostle Peter talks about us as believing saints of God, having a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is far superior to any hope that you and I can know on the carnal realm. It is a hope that's based in the character of God. It's a hope that we can afford to have. It's because it's based on our trust in God. The Bible says in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 62, I believe. I hope I'm right. It says that my expectation comes from God. So in other words, I can put right there in that hope, in that word, my hope comes from God. My expectation comes from God. My confidence is in God. My trust is in God. And that's why it's a living hope, because the God that you and I serve is a living God. You know, I have to say this, and I pray that you will not get offended by what I'm going to say right now. However, if you place your hope in anyone else besides Jesus Christ, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And when I say that he gave it, yes, we know that he was crucified. We know that he was nailed to that cross. But I want to say this very clearly. He went willingly. The Bible teaches us that Jesus could have called angels, I mean thousands of angels, to come immediately and rescue him from off that cross. But he chose to go on that cross and sacrifice his life, because he took our place. He took upon him our sin. I should have been the one on that cross, because I've sinned against the holy God. You should have been the one on the cross, because you've sinned against God. So this same wonderful Jesus, he took our place, being sinless, and the only one that was able to pay the penalty for our sin, because he was the only one that was without sin. He went and he gave his life freely. And he gave his life with a willing heart. And so we can afford to have hope and confidence in him. I'm going to tell you why. When Jesus gave his life, and he did die, he rose again. That's the great difference. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, rose from the grave triumphantly. If you go to Israel right now and you go to the place where they say that Jesus was buried, you will find there is absolutely no remains of Jesus. And it's not because somebody took his remains. It's because he was resurrected from the dead. It's exactly what he said he would do. He said, I'm going to give my life, but I'll take it up again in 3 days. And exactly what he said is exactly what he did. However, if you go to the grave site of any of the Buddhas that have been living before the current one, you will find their remains right there. If you go to see the grave of any other individual that had claimed to be God, you will find their remains are still there. So the difference between Jesus and all the other gods, if you go to the great, what the Islamic followers call the great prophet Muhammad, if you go to his grave, his remains are still there. But Jesus is not there, because he's resurrected. He is the resurrected Christ. And that's what the apostle was saying. He said, look, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord meaning master. Lord meaning the one who's in control. Lord meaning the supreme one. Lord meaning the boss, who according to his abundant mercy Oh, God is a God of great mercy, beloved, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So you and I have a living hope, not a dead hope. We place our hope in the only one who is able to lay down his life and pick it up again, the only one who was able to die on a cross so that my sins would be forgiven, your sins would be forgiven. That's the person that we have a living hope in. Your hope, son of God, daughter of God, child of God, is a living hope. And we desire that each one of you show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of hope to the end. I just quoted from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. I'm going to say that again. We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of hope to the end. So we can define hope in the New Testament sense as full assurance or strong confidence that God is going to do good to us. Just as he's done good to us in the past, he's been good to us right now, the same God is going to be good to us in the future. When I was praying about what message the Lord would have me to bring to you tonight, I felt so strong in my spirit that the Lord of the universe would like us to be reminded that there is great hope in Jesus Christ, and there is tremendous hope even in the 21st century. For Americans, as those of us who are Christians, I believe many of us were greatly saddened a little over 2 weeks ago when the Supreme Court came out with their decision that our country as a nation would no longer honor the design for marriage, the only design that God himself instituted, and that was for one man and one woman to be married in holy matrimony. I believe there was a sadness. I believe there were many heads hanging down low. There was a great disappointment, even though many of us already saw the handwriting on the wall. And we pretty much knew that this was the way that so many in leadership wanted the country to go. I do not believe that the majority of Americans would agree with what the Supreme Court has done. However, they've done it. And this now is the law of the land. This is going to bring tremendous ramifications for not only people living in America, because life as we know it in these United States are drastically changed. And only God knows if it will ever be the same again. And sad to say, but because we're the leading nation on the face of the earth, automatically life for the rest of the world is also going to be dramatically shifted. But I want to speak to the believing child of God and say, please, God wants to remind you tonight, he's reminding me tonight, that we're not to hang our heads low, but we are to actually lift our heads up, because Jesus said in Matthew, when you see these things begin to take place, lift up your heads. Your redemption draws nigh. So we are to have a living hope. You know, just like the Word of God says, faith without works is dead. I can also say tonight that hope, if it's only going to be hope because of the way that we lived our lives before or prior to 2015, then that would be dead hope. But if we're going to have living hope, we've got to bring that hope of Jesus Christ into our arena where we're living and breathing and walking and talking today in 2015. So, child of God, be very encouraged. God let you be alive in this season I want to say like Mordecai, who was the cousin of Queen Esther, but was raised as if he was an uncle, and actually he was a father to Esther. And he told the queen, when everything was going in shambles, when their very lives were being challenged, Mordecai said to Esther, "How do you know that God did not bring you to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I believe, saint of God, that you and I have been brought to be alive in this season for such a time as this. And we're supposed to have living hope, hope that is fertile, hope that is fruitful, productive hope, even in this wicked and crooked generation. A living hope is a hope that has power and produces changes in life. This is what living means in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, "The word of God is living and effective." Amen. God's word is living and it's effective. And the word of God is that his hope is to be alive. So just as I said before, as we use that scripture, it says faith without works is dead. Hope without being alive in you, hope without being alive in me, is dead. So Christian hope is a strong confidence in God, which has the power to produce changes in how we live. If I have hope in God, it's going to cause me to live like somebody who has hope. Amen. While other people's heads are hanging low, you and I can lift our heads up. We have a lot of reason to be hopeful because, number one, we have Jesus. Hallelujah. That's great hope. You know why a lot of your neighbors, coworkers, friends, family members, why they're on all kinds of psychotic drugs? Because they're lacking hope in Christ. They don't really have full confidence, and their expectation is not fully based in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about those that can do better. I don't mean those that maybe have a real problem. But for those, so many people that are on psych meds, it's because they lack hope. So we should have our heads lifted up because we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus can be resurrected from the dead, he can resurrect you from your situation, your circumstances, what you're going through right now. I remember my brother was telling me about a banquet that he went to. And at this banquet, they had an MC in a very nice three-piece suit. And he said he had to take like a double. He had to look at this man a few times. And he recollected that this was the very same man that my brother met on the streets many years ago that was begging for food and was looking in the garbage for food. But his life had been so transformed by the power of God that he was totally changed. He said, "Pearl, if you saw him today, you would never think in a million years that he would have ever been taking food out of the garbage, the dump heap, that he would have ever been begging people for money in the street." Why? Because this individual, that man, came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, had his life totally transformed, totally forgiven, totally delivered, totally set free, and now he has living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why? Because God literally picked him up from the muck, from the mire, from the filth, and resurrected and transformed his life. And God can do the same for you. You might never be begging for food out of a garbage or a down heap. You might never be there. Praise God for that. You might never be on drugs. Thank God for that. You might never have to pimp. You might never have to prostitute. Thank God for that. But whether you've had that experience or you've never had that experience, without Christ, you're still lost. Without Christ, I am lost. Without Christ, I'm still like that guy that was at the garbage pile trying to sift through and see if you can find something to eat. That's what you and I look like apart from Jesus Christ. We might not be going to the garbage to look for something, but then we're going to the world to try to get satisfaction. Unfortunately, you go to the world to try to get satisfaction, the devil will have something to give you, all right. You're not gonna wind up liking what you get. Because Jesus said the devil comes to steal and to destroy. But Jesus said, I, Jesus, come to give life and that in abundance. And so the Word of God tells us that we have a living hope. Believe in a wonderful man and woman of God. This is not the time for us to lose hope. You know, our salvation is not our country. I'm patriotic like the rest of them. However, my Savior is not United States of America. And I hope and I pray with all my heart that your Savior is not the United States of America. For those of you that are listening to this broadcast and you're from another country and you would love to come to America, I welcome you. I hope that you will get an opportunity if that's the plan of God and the will of God for your life. I pray that you'd get a visa to come. However, let me say very clearly before you set your feet on American soil, America in itself, the country, is not your savior. Too many people have come to these shores looking for an opportunity, a better opportunity, and thank God, still to this day, we probably have the best opportunities to work hard, make a living, and do something for yourself and for your family. However, America, I repeat, and I was born in America, I'm an American, naturally born here. I can tell you, America is not your salvation. And those of you trying to leave America now to go to another country because you don't like what's happening, going to the other country is not your salvation either. That nation is not going to be your savior. I cannot promise you what they'll be doing in another 6 months, another year down the line. The entire world is shifting. The globe is changing. Jesus is getting ready to return. But before he comes back, some other things have got to take place. So let me just encourage you to have living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then I want to talk about the second thing tonight. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it does not fade away. I don't know about you. That thrills me. That excites me. I have an inheritance that cannot be corrupted. It cannot be defiled. It does not fade away. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And God is not a man that he can lie. What does the word in the Greek really mean? Incorruptible. Indestructible. It means imperishable. It cannot perish. It cannot be destroyed. We can say it's immortal. We have a hope that's an inheritance that's immortal. It will live forever. You know, in the natural, you might have gotten inheritance from your grandma or your grandfather or Auntie Sue that you never met in life, but she heard about you because she knew that her brother or her sister had you as their child. And so while you never met your aunt that was rich, and maybe she had a very important piece of paper or document, and she left it for you. She left it in the will for you. And so now that she's passed on, you're invited to come to the reading of the will. However, when you go to the lawyer's office and you sit down at his desk, He says, well, your aunt left you a very valuable document. And when you open up the envelope, you find, because that had been placed in that envelope for so long, it began to deteriorate. It began to get rotten. Or she might have left you a very valuable piece of clothing. Or she might have left you something else. Now, some of the inheritance, they remain in good condition. Some of the inheritances that we get, they perish. By the time we get to it, it's already turned to dust. So we know that some inheritances that people leave to us can be destroyed. Even a house that's left to a son or a daughter or to a grandchild or to a great-grandchild, that inheritance can be destroyed if it's a physical building. Unfortunately, that building might go through the fire, or it might have been sold to somebody else, unawares. So all kinds of things can happen to inheritances in the natural. However, in the spiritual, when God gives us an inheritance, you can bank on it. It is incorruptible. God promised his great friend Abraham that he was going to give him an inheritance. That was thousands of years ago that God made that promise to a man. When he made the promise to Abraham, Abraham didn't even have any children whatsoever. But when God says something, I'm telling you, it's going to come to pass. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's an inheritance that's undefiled. He gave Abraham an inheritance by giving him the nation of Israel. His seed that he gave him through Israel. First he had Isaac, and then he gave him Jacob, and then he gave him, turned his name to Israel. And one day I'm gonna speak about God changing our names. But he promised Abraham, I'm gonna bless your seed. And he did bless his seed. We see his seed today. And even though his seed has so many enemies, I'm talking about the nation and the people of Israel. Israel, even though they have so many enemies, I can guarantee you, Israel, the nation of Israel, will never be destroyed. Why? Because it is a nation after God's heart. God promised that to Abraham, that he was going to bless his seed, and his seed, seed, and his seed, seed, seed. And because God said it, it was going to always, and it will always remain the same, just like his character. God is the same God yesterday, today. He'll be the same God tomorrow. And he promised us that he has given us an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and it will not fade away. It will not, you know, the color will remain the same. It'll be the same strong color.
It seems that our host is where all the love
again. So I'm going to look at the third point in what we're talking about tonight, having hope, even in this 21st century. Praise God. You and I can have hope. Now, that hope is not just promised to anybody. It is promised to the people who are kept by the power of God. That's the little clincher right there. This promise that we're reading about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, I have to tell it to you gently, not for everybody. This promise of hope in the 21st century is particularly to those who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God is the one who keeps Sister Pearl. God is the one who keeps Evangelist Montel. God is the one who keeps you, child of God, that's listening to this broadcast. I'm so happy that it's not by my power that I'm being kept. What about you? I'm happy that I'm being kept by the power of God. Now, what does the power of God really mean? Love that word, the power of God. It means the dunamis. That's the Greek word for the power of God. The dunamis, talking about the might, the marvelous works, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, God the Father is in heaven. God the Son is in heaven. And he sent his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to still be with us. And that's how come we can say we have the power of God that dwells in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The dunamis talks about the marvelous works of God. I tell you, we serve a marvelous, tremendous God. He's a powerful God. He's that same powerful God that, remember, there was a few messages ago that I spoke about how the prophet Elijah had a contest between him and the prophets of Baal. And he said, if your God is the real God, let him call down fire and just, you know, burn up all of this sacrifice right here. And the prophets of Baal, they cried out all day long. They cut themselves, they weep, they jumped up and down, they turned around. And because, of course, they were calling on a God who was fake, a God who was not real, the sacrifice remained there unburned, not devoured. But when the prophet Elijah, he didn't have to do all of that extra stuff. He didn't have to put on a show. All he did is lift his eyes to the hills and called on the true and the living God. When he called on Jehovah God to accept the sacrifice, fire came down immediately and burned up all that water that was in the trenches that Elijah had the men pour, just to be a testimony and a witness that it was not some kind of hocus pocus, it was not a trick, it was not some fake thing, but it was true. And God sent down fire and burned up that sacrifice. And the people knew, wow, the God of Elijah, Jehovah God, he is the only true and living God. So our God is a powerful God. Our God is the God that can raise the dead. Our God is the God that can speak to the blind eye, and all of a sudden that individual can see. Our God is a powerful God that can speak to the one that cannot hear, and then he can hear. Our God is the one that can transform a life and take us out of the pit and put us in a palace. That's our God. He's a powerful God. Our God has power like no other God, because he's the only true and the living God. The Wesley notes, they say it like this, and I'm reading from Wesley's notes about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance, for if we sons, We're more than sons. We're incorruptible. It's not like earthly treasures. It's undefiled. It's pure and holy, incapable of being itself defiled or of being enjoyed by any polluted soil that fades away. It never decays in its value, sweetness, or beauty, like all the enjoyments of this world, like the garlands of leaves or flowers. You know, if you have a garland or a leaf, eventually, as much as you like, it's going to dry up, it's going to decay. But because of the power of God in our life, we don't dry up. We don't decay, child of the living God. Even when we might have our earthly tabernacle, the Bible calls our earthly tabernacle our physical bodies. Okay, I'm going to say that again for those of you that are new to studying the Word of God. The Bible calls our physical bodies are our earthly tabernacle, meaning that our souls and our spirits dwell in our physical bodies. But we're going to have even our physical bodies kept by the power of God. Does that mean that we're never going to die? No, that's not what it's saying. Some of us might see death before Jesus comes back, but we're going to be kept. Our spirits are going to be kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in that last time. Whether they take my body, I don't know. In the days that we live in, I don't know if I'm going to see death before Jesus comes back. I can, you know, I could, but again, I may not be. I don't know. But if I am to see death, I know that my spirit will be kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, God has a greater plan for me. I will always belong to God. Paul the Apostle said it like this: for me to live is Christ, but if I die, I will even have gain. In other words, when I live on this earth and I don't see death yet, my whole life is wrapped up in Christ. So for me to live is Christ, but if I die, I even gain more because I'm going to be with Christ in my eternal treasure, which is heaven. I'll be with Jesus forever. I will never have to deal with what I'm dealing with down on this earth again. So you and I, we're going to be kept by the power of God. You and I don't have to be afraid of what's going to be ahead. That's why we have tremendous hope. I don't have to be afraid of death. I don't have to be afraid even if I'm killed. I don't have to be afraid if I'm martyred. Did you ever think, how could these Christians in Syria, in Iran, in Iraq, in North Korea, some of the brothers and sisters that have lost their lives in China or in some of the South American countries that were targeted, or some of the African nations that were targeted in some parts of Nigeria or some parts of Somalia or some parts of Rwanda or some parts of Uganda, or any other nation for that matter. How were they able to face death when they were put to the test and they were asked the question, look, if you just deny Jesus Christ, we will let you live? How were they able to say, no, I'm not going to deny Jesus Christ, whether you allow me to live or not? I am not going to deny Jesus Christ. Why? Because those saints, those men and women were kept by the power of God through what? Through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Those men, those women, and I'm going to tell you, some of them were very young. Some of them were as young as 8, 9, 10 years old, and they were challenged with this question. You want to live? Deny Jesus. You want to die? Own Jesus. And those children, as young as they were saying, I am not willing to deny my Jesus. I believe they understood 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. They understood that they were kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe, beloved, that even in America, in these great United States, you and I are going to have our faith severely tested. And why can I say this with such an assurance? Because I have lived. I've never really told you the full extent of my testimony, and I'm not going to do this tonight. But I can say this much. I have lived in a communist nation. Not for one decade, for more than a decade. I have lived in that kind of an environment. And so now that God has had me move back to the nation of my birth, I can tell you the handwriting is on the wall. The signs are all around us that Christians, and I want to say this because there are too many people using the term Christian. Christian means Christ follower. But I have to now emphasize when I say Christian, because so many people are laying claim to that term Christian, and they're not living Christ-like, and they're not really following Christ's teachings. So I want to say true believers of the Word of God, which is the Holy Bible, Bible-believing Christians, the handwriting is on the wall. If you're going to stick to the precepts of God and His design, His plan for men and women in our lives on the earth, if you're going to stick in obedience to Christ, you're going to be tested. You will have your faith tried. That's a fact. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Know that. I'm trying to prepare you for what is coming ahead. And I'm just speaking the truth in love. We are going to be tested. And so we can gain confidence and we can gain encouragement from what Apostle Peter has told us. He said, even if you've been grieved by various trials, let the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, and your faith will be tested, may it be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord for you tonight. We have great hope in Jesus Christ. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. We have an inheritance that is not going to get corrupted. It's not going to be defiled. It's a hope that's kept not by the power of man, not by the power of the government of America or the government where you're living in another country. It's not by their power. It's not by anybody else's power. You and I, as saints of the Most High God, we're kept by none less than the power of God, the same God that can cause the Red Sea to be divided and have his children walk across it on dry land and let that Red Sea come back together again and devour and drown the enemies of the children of God. That's the God that I serve tonight. That's the God that you serve tonight. The same God. We're kept by the power of God. The same God that shut the mouth of the lions when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and the king and the enemies of Daniel thought that he was going to be devoured and eaten alive, but the power of God shut the mouth of the lions. It's the same God that you and I are placing our full confidence and trust in. We have a living hope, not a dead hope. May the Lord bless you, and may you be encouraged with that word tonight. Yes, you and I have tremendous hope, even in the 21st century. I'm going to remain on the line. I'm going to, first of all, thank Evangelist Montel Seals for giving me. I am so humbled by this great woman of God that she would open up this opportunity and allow me to share the word of God, break the bread of life with you every Sunday evening. Thank you so much, Evangelist Montel. And I'm going to give you now the mic for you to take it. If you want to open up the lines, I would love if people would like me to pray for them. I think we're open for questions, but before questions, we'd like to see if anybody would like prayer. Maybe they're lacking in hope. Maybe they've allowed the things of the world to fade their hope in God. And you would like me as another sister in Christ to come alongside and pray with you and pray for you. I'm going to be here available to do that tonight. I feel as the Lord is leading me to do that, to come right behind in response to this word, hope in Jesus Christ in the 21st century. Thank you, Evangelist Montel. Praise God. Amen. So do we have any takers? Amen. Amen. Well, let me just pray for you. I'll pray for you in the interim. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I worship you. I adore you. There's no other one like you. We bless and honor your most holy name tonight. We thank you for the word of God. The word of God, it's alive and strong. It's powerful. It's sharp. It can totally transform and change our lives. God, I pray for everyone that's been listening to this broadcast. Some of the listeners might have lost their hope. Some of them might have become discouraged or despondent or even been in despair. I pray that you would be the lifter of their heads tonight, that you would encourage them, that you would embrace them, that they would turn to you and to your precious holy word, that they would be greatly reminded that we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, because we're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God, may you strengthen each and every one that has listened to this broadcast. Lord, you know what they're going through. You know them by name. You know them by nature. You know where they live. You know what they're dealing with. You know who they're living with. You know what they're coming against. You know who's coming against them. And Father, even in this present environment in our country, the enemy would love to rob the believer of our hope. But Father, that would be impossible. No demon, no devil in hell can rob us from our hope in Jesus Christ, because you remain the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So we bless you, and we ask you to encourage and bless your people, O God. May they be strengthened. And in the coming days and weeks and months ahead, we're going to face only you know what. But Father, may we not deny your name. May we be bold as a lion. May we be harmless as doves. May we be unashamed and unabandoned in our total allegiance and love of you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen and amen. God bless you, Montel. I'm turning over the mic to you.
Can you hear me, Sister Pearl?
I can hear you only now.
Thank goodness. I am so sorry to everyone. I do not know what's been happening tonight, but the calls have been dropping and the mic
wow.
has been messing. And I rebuke Satan, and I've been
yes.
trying to get it back open, and I do apologize. We had some callers on the line earlier. One that was real early in the program had a phone call, so if you're out there and you're wanting to call back in, please, again, the phone lines are open. I do, again, apologize
Amen.
For the difficulties. That's something I have no control over. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
everyone for their understanding and for your beautiful message tonight, Sister.
Thanks,
I really
God.
Do appreciate you calling. If you are wanting to call in and you have a question or comment, the phone lines are open at 347-308-8837. 347-308-8837. Just press 1 and that lets us know that you are wanting to talk to the host.
Amen. Well, praise God, Evangelist Montel. I'm not sure about how much the people heard, but I pray that they did hear the portions that God really wanted them to hear.
Well, I heard you were on the air for quite a long time. You dropped for just a couple of minutes, and I played a song, and then you came back on. So in regards to that, I don't think they missed very much. I'm sorry there was dead air. I can respond to you because I'm having technical difficulties tonight.
That's not a problem, my sister. It happens. And this is warfare. You know that. God is good. The shows that you're producing are so tremendous to the glory and the honor of God that, you know, we should all learn a lesson from this. Whenever we're trying to do something for the glory of God, there's always going to be opposition. But we should continue to press through, just as you've done, Evangelist Montel. So you're a great example of that.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm trying to see if we get some callers in on the line. And it truly is, and I say this from my heart, it is such an honor. God is bringing some of the most amazing ministries into Reaching Out Radio. Yours is one of them.
To God be the glory.
To have you share on Reaching Out Radio, your ministry blesses me so much, and I know
Thank
I'm going to learn and grow from you. I know God
Amen.
Put you in my life. You have the same heart and passion and drive as I do to want to win.
Amen.
People over to teach them the truth about Jesus. God molded me with a compassionate heart, and I have such a love, adoration for my Father. I want the world to know about that, and that's why I've been faithful in sticking in with Reaching Out Radio, and every day the numbers grow, and we have people coming back listening to the on-demand, so I thank God for that. It's such a privilege and an honor to be a servant, and I thank you so much for what you do on Sunday nights, and I look forward to Kingdom Perspective. That's very powerful teaching. I know people love that. I was going to let you know that has been one of the most listened to on demand links. That's been your Kingdom Perspective. So people really
Praise
do
God.
Love that.
Praise
yes,
God.
And that's, I love how you teach and how your ladies teach with you. I think it's just so beautiful.
To God be the glory, my sister. Well, we're looking forward to join. We're going to have another Kingdom Perspective program this coming Friday, God willing. So we're really excited and looking forward to that.
That sounds awesome, and I myself am looking forward to that. And again, if anybody tonight has a phone call, you can call in to 347-308-8837, 347-308-8837, and the phone lines
Amen.
Are open, and we look forward to your calls. As I said earlier tonight, I know there was a caller on the line, and they was on when you were first teaching, and I'm praying that if they have a comment or a question, that they'll call back in, and some of it could be to do as well with the connection that we're having tonight, because the connection tonight, as I said, that happens. The enemy gets mad when the word goes forth, but we rebuke him. And we're keeping faith for us and asking God to have his perfect will.
Praise God. Praise God. And, you know, if there are none, then we can close the program. But it's all up to, you know, we're here. I'm here to serve. So if there are callers, we can just keep the lines open. If not, then we can just wrap it up. Whatever
right now,
whatever the Lord leads.
Right now there's not. There were earlier, but right now there's not. As I said, though, it honestly might be with the problems we are having with connection tonight. It happens very seldomly.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened to be one of those nights that it did happen. And I apologize again to all the listeners, but I have no control over the technical aspect.
Not a problem, not a problem.
So if you want to go ahead and if you want us to go ahead and end here, sister, and you have any other thoughts or anything, we can. And we'll just pray next time that the lines will be open and we won't have no disruptions.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. I pray that the people that did call in to listen, I pray that you were blessed. I pray that that even if, as the Lord leads, just take another look at that 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7. Take a look at it again. I believe that God's going to show you some even new things and fresh things, some of the things he might expand on that you learned tonight. And some of the things might have been a little bit new, but you know, that's what we do. We grow in the Word of God. We all grow. I grow, you grow. And so let's just remember as we're going to close this particular program that there is tremendous hope. That's the word of the Lord for us tonight. There is tremendous hope in Jesus Christ. So I don't want us to be discouraged. I want us to be encouraged. We're going to hear more and more things happen, but that's okay. Remember what Jesus said. When you see these things begin to take place, look up. Because your redemption draws near. In the meantime, have tremendous hope in Christ. Amen. Because we've got an inheritance that's incorruptible, and it's reserved for us in heaven. So this is a great note to end on. God bless you, Evangelist Montel. God bless your listeners. Until we meet again, hopefully you'll be able to join us on Friday night, but certainly if you can't, on Sunday night, we'll be here at the same number, same time, same place, until Jesus comes back, or you know, until he calls me home. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Again, you've been
with
Pearl Corbin on Reaching Out Radio, where we have the Word of God going for 7 days a week. Tomorrow night, join us for the musical and talented sound of 16-year-old Alex Sun. God has really gifted me, and he's sharing all of his talents for the Lord. God bless you all. Have a blessed week ahead. Remember, don't back down when God is backing you up.